Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. This is number 5 in the love of God. And as we have seen, everyone wants the love of God. They want God to love them as they are. But God has something that we need to do first. It is the love of God through His grace that leads us to repentance. And repentance must come first before you receive the love of God. And repentance must be a turning from sin. And what is sin? Sin is commandment breaking. Sin is law transgressing. Now, God is love, and we need to love Him because He loved us first. So, there is no question concerning the love of God. That's why we saw last time Jesus said, "If you love me, keep the commandments, namely, my commandments." And today we have such a watered-down Christianity in the world that it is so insipid, there's no substance to it. It's like someone say, "Would you please give me a cup of tea?" So a person says, "Yes, I'll bring it." So they take hot water, boiling hot water, and they put in 3 drops of liquid tea. And they take it to the person and say, "Here's the tea." And they don't know how absolutely watered down that it really is. And how much has been watered down with the Word of God. Because people are so used to everything being so convenient and easy and fast that they've got to make it simple. Well, in simplicity, they lose the depth of the love of God. They lose the depth of the understanding of God's plan. And they are so enveloped with worldliness within the church that they have nothing to do with God. Only in name, only in some form, but it's their own works. See, the ultimate goal of Protestantism with new people is to have them come to church, be churched. Well, when people come to church and see how literally, in many cases, stupid, with no substance that it is, they don't stay very long. Now, let me tell you a truth. God is not interested in getting you churched. Church is after the fact of coming to God and responding to His love. And then you being baptized and receiving the Holy Spirit of God, then you become part of the church of God. And when there are enough people to assemble together, then that becomes a fellowship group. But today, in order to find the love of God, in order to find the truth of God, in order to understand what God is doing, we have church at home. At home, you don't have a minister pulling on you, bringing in political solutions, begging for money. What we do at church at home is help you through the Word of God and through your own personal life and even prayer. Yes, you can pray. And remember, God is as close to you as your knees are to the floor. And you seek God. And this is what we endeavor to do with Church at Home. And the most important thing is the love of God. When Jesus was preaching and teaching, one of the doctors of the law came to him and said, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Because he wanted to trip up Jesus and catch him in a slip of the tongue. Not that he really wanted to know, because he already knew. And the problem was that the doctor of the law was not doing it. So notice Jesus' answer. Matthew 22 and verse 37. "And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.'" With all your heart. And that means all of your emotions. God is first. God is love. God gives life. God has given you intelligence and understanding and emotion. With all your heart. Notice, with all your soul. Now your soul is your physical being. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living being or a living soul. With all your life, your whole self, everything that is you goes into loving God. It's not just a convenient rabbit foot that you wave around when you're in trouble. It's not a crucifix because, let me tell you the truth, you're not going to come to God when you have idols. That'll never happen. You've got to get rid of all of them. With all your mind is centered on God. God's way, God's word, God's truth. That's how Jesus said you're to love God. Verse 38, "This is the first and greatest commandment." Do you do that? Is that what your life is centered to do? Most people have it this way. I go to church on Sunday and I listen to the minister, but what I do the rest of the week is mine. And I do it my way. And many live in sin. Not only do they not keep the Sabbath of God the seventh day of the week, they keep the first day of the week. And when they're done with that and they go home, then they're devoted to their sports, to their television, to whatever their occupation is, to their sins, whatever it may be. And 30 million Christians have admitted to being hooked on pornography. Is that loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? Not at all. See, the Bible tells us the way of man is the way of deceit. When was the last time you lied to yourself? Or are you so convinced with your lies that you think them to be true? See, all of those things have to be repented of and forsaken. Now notice, and the second one is like it, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now who is your neighbor? Anyone near to you. Recently they showed on one of the news programs how that a man was shot lying right in the doorway, blocking partially the door of people coming into this quick stop, and he was there bleeding and dying. And the clerk did nothing about it. No one called the police. Three customers came in, stepped over him as they came in, stepped over him as they went out, and they didn't do a thing. Nothing. The second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. They should have helped that poor man. But no, people are so wrapped up in self. People are so wrapped up in their digital devices. People are so wrapped up in their sports. People are so wrapped up in their hobbies. People are so wrapped up in their clubs and their societies. They're so obsessed with sex and drugs and just living their lives. If you call that living your life, that they didn't even have enough compassion to stop and help that man and call the police and call an ambulance. Think on that. Are we hard-hearted? Yes, indeed. Now let's see what else Jesus said concerning this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So what happens when they say the law and the prophets have been fulfilled and done away? What are they doing? They're getting rid of the love of God. They're getting rid of the love of neighbor. God says in the lesser laws, expounding upon the Ten Commandments, that if you see even your enemy, if his ox has fallen on him or his mule or his horse has fallen on him, you are to help him. Think of that. Is that not love from God expressed in that law? But of course it is. All the law and the prophets. Now let's come back to the law. Let's come back to Deuteronomy 7 and let's see what God told the children of Israel. Now, this is the fifth book of the book of the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy was after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because they didn't believe God. So they had to stay in the wilderness for 40 years. And everyone over 20 died because they rebelled against God. God was right there. God's presence, they could see it in the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night and in the manna every day for 40 years. And yet there were those that rebelled right in the face of God. So here in the book of Deuteronomy, this is given some time before they go into the promised land after 40 years. So Moses is writing this and telling them. So let's pick it up here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 7. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, you are going to find an awful lot of what is called New Testament theology in the book of Deuteronomy. So let's read it here. See how closely this compares to what we read in the other segments in 1 John and 2 John. Verse 6, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a special people to himself above all people that are on the face of the earth. Now then, think about this in relation to the new covenant and the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection and the giving of the Holy Spirit. Those who have the Holy Spirit of God are a special people unto God. They will become his very sons and his very daughters because of his love. That's what John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 1. Oh, what glorious love the Father has given to us, that we are called the children of God. Is that not special? Yes, indeed. So we see the same thing here. But notice what God requires. Verse 7. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Now let's stop and think here. This also applies to the New Testament. What did Jesus tell the apostles in John 15? Let's go back there and look at that. When we come to God, we are answering the call of God. We don't come because we are good. That's why God says, repent. We don't come to God because we are such great and wonderful people and have done great and marvelous things and the world loves us. Well, let me tell you what. If the world loves you, maybe you better think you are in a heap of trouble. Because if you don't love God, John 15 and verse 16. You yourselves did not choose me, he told the apostles. But I have personally chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give you. Verse 17, these things I command you that you love one another. Now let's come back to Deuteronomy 7 again. God chose the children of Israel. God chooses those who answer his call. Many are called, but few are chosen, because few repent. Few are willing to give up their ways, their thoughts, their lives to God. Go back here, Deuteronomy 7, and let's pick it up at verse 8. But because the Lord loved you. Think of that. He's telling all the children of Israel. The Lord loved you. Well, God loves those who love him. We'll see that. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now then, in type in the Old Testament, Egypt is sin, Pharaoh was a type of Satan, the devil. And in order for you to be saved out of this world and answering the call of God, he must rescue you. You need to come to God, and you need to repent of your sins to God. He will forgive them. He will blot them out. And then you need to receive the Spirit of God after baptism by full water immersion. Now you go on to cbcg.org, and I'm doing a series of sermons there that is entitled Restoring Original Christianity for Today. And you need to understand what baptism means. Now notice verse 9. God's love then becomes conditional if you love God. Now, verse 9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now that is an amazing thing. See, when they tell you you don't need to read the Old Testament, look what you're missing. That is a big lie. Why should there be lies from the pulpit? Think on that. Let's go forward. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slow to repay him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Now we're seeing it being repaid to us here in America today. Don't think for one second that the judgment of God is not upon this world and upon this nation and upon Britain and upon any nation that goes against God. God will not be mocked. You want the love of God? You've got to love Him. How? With all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being. Now let's continue. These other verses are very important. You shall therefore keep the commandments and statutes and judgments which I command you today to do them. You think you're going to get into the kingdom of God some other way? No, indeed. And it shall come to pass if, there's that two-letter word again, if you hearken to the judgments to keep and practice them, then the Lord your God shall keep with you the covenant and the mercy which he swore to your fathers. Think on this. If you do your works your way, whose works are those? Those are yours. If you walk in God's way and keep his commandments, whose works are those? Those are the works of God in your life. They are not your works. You are not trying to work out your salvation. Only God can give that. Do you understand that? No human works are going to bring salvation. But if you do the works of God that God says, do this, do that, do the other, you are doing the works of God, not your own. Now notice what happens when you do that. Old Testament, New Testament. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. New covenant, give you eternal life as a son or daughter of God to live forever and ever on into the ages of eternity. Now that's how much God loves you. Are you willing to love God? Are you willing to forsake the things that you do? Are you willing to change the way that you live, the way that you think? Are you? That's what it's all about. Now again, you need our booklet, brand new one, Why Christianity Has Failed in America. And you need the book, Lord, What Should I Do? That will give you a start on what you need to do, how you can come to God, how you need to repent. And then, since there is this book by Bill O'Reilly about killing Jesus, you need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. Because Bill O'Reilly, I will give him an F+ on his book. Because he does mention some scriptures, but nearly everything else that he has there is not true.
You include two quotes from Jesus on the cross, but not the most famous one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Why not?
We don't put in things that we don't think happened.
How do you know?
Because you couldn't say something like that audibly that people would hear. You die on a cross from being suffocated, that your lungs can't take in any more air. You can hardly breathe. We believe Jesus said that, but we don't believe he said it on the cross because nobody could have heard it.
But, Bill, you know what people are going to say. The Bible says that Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, but Bill O'Reilly says that's not true. So I should believe Bill.
You believe what you want. If you want to take the Bible literally, then that's your right to do that.
But you use as your sources for this book the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but you pick and choose.
Right, but that's not our only source. I mean, we use Muslim sources, we use Roman sources, we use Jewish sources.
So is this the gospel according to Bill?
This is best available evidence according to Bill. We believe that the oral history in the Bible is largely accurate, but we're not taking it literally.
Yes, it does show the brutality of it. But he doesn't use the word of God. And the ones who wrote the Gospels are first-person testimony. You need to know, why did Jesus die for your sins and the sins of the whole world? You need this book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.